The boat that brought you here was strange. That's one of the few things you remember from the days before the island. A simple skiff which could hold 4 or 5 people at most. Its prow, its figurehead, painted to resemble eyes. Eyes fixed ever forward upon the horizon. And it brought you through the fog of the lake, slow and steady. Occasionally, you'd stop at some island for supplies, and always there was enough. Always there was just what you needed. Until eventually it wrecked upon the reef, and you washed up here. The soft sands of a tropical isle. Numerous trees bearing fruit, citrus, there are coconuts. A freshwater oasis, more than enough to survive. Game to be hunted, if that's your preference, too. But an island. One you could walk across in 30 minutes, if not less. An island, and one which promises no sure escape. The nights are warm. The days are breezy. Delicious fruit, chilled water from the spring, gathered from the rains. It's not so bad. You lay on the beach, for a time away from it all, sucking citrus juice from your fingers, leaving the rinds in a coconut shell you're using to store scraps until you can take some water, mix it with the rinds, and have something flavored later. You hear the sea spray slapping on wood. Maybe your boat washed ashore. The timber on the isle isn't good enough to make a new one, and anyway you'd have nothing for a sail, and you couldn't row from here. You sit up on the sand, brushing it from your body. You're wearing tattered shorts, which were once longer pants, and no shirt at all. Your body, sun-kissed as it is still in reasonable shape. Enough creatures exist to supply protein, and striding across the island or going on a daily run is nice before rinsing yourself off in a makeshift shower made from 50 barrels suspended. Your body is, yes, still in good shape. Which is why you don't immediately quail when you see the massive 3-sailed ship anchored just offshore, and the landed rowboat, with a few brown-skinned women climbing out of it, very tanned, muscular, wearing flowing skirts and revealing tops. Chosen for comfort, not to titillate. The women are hauling fruit and game from the island's interior, and must have been doing so for some time while you dozed. The tallest of them is remaining by the boat, counting the haul, placing it onto floating pontoons meant to be chained behind the craft. She has a mane of red-brown hair, loose about her face, but it forms into a tight braid at the base of her neck and falls down past her shoulders. You take in as much of the woman as you can at once. Silver stud earrings, 5 in each ear, a tattoo of a sea serpent which forms coiling wave-pocked sleeves on each arm and runs across her shoulders. At least from what you can see behind the braid. She turns slowly to face you. You see the muscles on her arms gleaming in the sun. You remind yourself again that they're not dressed to turn you on, despite the way that her tight top clings, showing her nipples through it, or the way she sways her hips as she begins to walk toward your boulder. Yes, she's walking toward where you're hiding. Come out of there. I could hear you. Her skirt is short enough that her muscled legs, many-strapped leather sandals below, are clearly visible. Toenails are painted bright blue. Her eyes are sharp, yellow, pinpoint pupils. You're still inspecting her because you aren't quite ready to parse her command to emerge. The pupils, more bird-like than human, her eyebrows elegantly arched. She must maintain them. Her eyelashes are very long. You find yourself fixating on the eyes. No wonder she sensed you. And then your eyes are drawn to her lips, which are painted in that same bright blue. She hasn't reached for her curved cutlass, nor is she approaching closer. Her face is beautiful. You realize her fingernails match the toenails and the lips, too, but she must keep them so short because she works with her hands. The polish stands out. That tight, off-the-shoulder top is stretched across her breasts. The nipples poking through your eyes go back to them. Really, though, if I have to come get ye, you won't have much fun. She adjusts the top slightly, causing one very firm breast to emerge just a little higher. She Mock coquettishly clutches her top below it, but you're not falling for the act. You see she has tan lines to about halfway down her breast, slightly lighter skin. She must often wear some kind of covering. No tan lines on the arms. You find yourself immediately wondering if everything below is equally kissed by the sun. You think about your relative sizes, the fact she has reinforcements, and emerge immediately into the light. Oh, not bad, explains the wreckage on the reef out there. You picked a good place to wash up. We'll take you. She walks closer, swaying her hips, still seductively, and this time, instead of some coquettish maneuver meant as much to amuse as to titillate, this is a sincere, seductive swagger. She extends one hand. One blue-nailed finger touches beneath your chin. She pushes your face upward to look into her eyes. Those yellow eyes bore into you. The smell of citrus and salt washes over you, and she comes closer still, bringing your face level with her breasts. She lets you stare at them. Then she pushes the finger upward again. She's leaning down, closer, closer. Her lips come into contact with yours. And then, onto your cheek, she whispers in your ear. Her cheek to yours. You can't see her lips during the whispers, but after the brief taste of hers on yours, they're all you can see inside your head. Everything on this island is ours. Get in the boat. She kisses your cheek again, no doubt leaving some kind of mark from that blue lipstick. You feel the burn of embarrassment at both the sudden intimate gesture and at how much you enjoy it. You don't argue. You walk toward the boat pulled up on the shore. She calls out to the other two women, letting them know to keep loading the cargo train. Then she walks to the boat where you've settled yourself, prepared to grab the oars as you are, certainly willing to row a little if it means leaving this island, arousal already flaring in your body at the idea of accompanying this tall, curvy woman back to the ship. You're going to be so close to her, staring at those breasts, and she's been flirtatious already, too. You like your chances. What are you doing up on the bench like that? Get down in the well. She here refers to the place between the two benches on the boat, where some equipment and smaller cargo is currently stuffed. You slide off and kneel in the space between the cargo, as she pushes the boat into the water easily and effortlessly at a run, sliding it across the sand. A slithery hiss fills your ears just an instant before she strides two steps into the water, leaps in as the boat gains momentum. Her short skirt is high enough it doesn't even get wet. It flutters as she lands. Thud. You think about the implications of that short skirt when she does land neatly on the bench in front of you, facing you. Because from down here you can see everything. Well, so you thought, but you get a better look when she grabs your head, pushes you up under her skirt, and presses your face against her underwear, obviously intending for you to service her dark underwear, breathable cotton, and your face pressed against the firm shaft of her cock through the fabric. The tip is sticking over the band of it, and your nose brushes against this, inhaling the scent of her, the feel of her. Her cock so very present, undeniable, unmistakable, filling your vision. The thickness of it, the veins standing out plainly visible, the inch or so of shaft exposed above her underwear, the head, the small depression below it. And the pre-cum shining, glistening, already dripping to it. There's a wet spot on the underwear lower down, dripping fluid from her pussy as well. Everything in front of you, the pure arousal, obvious. The sheer sexual pressure of being that close to so many ways to deliver pleasure to her body. How hard she is. She must have been hard since she first saw you, shirtless, wearing almost nothing, in fact, before her on the aisle. Yeah. You push your face against her cock, just rubbing there. You don't even open your mouth, eagerly pressing your nose, your lips, breathing in with your face pushed against the lower part of her shaft. The tip is rubbing against your forehead, your face rubbing against her underwear, creating friction for her. A few droplets of her sticky pre-cum mark you in this moment, but she doesn't direct you in any particular way. So you keep doing what comes naturally. You think back on her face, somehow more of a turn-on, even, than the big shaft in front of you, then knowing that her wet pussy is soaked for your attentions. It's very easy to rub your face against her, to breathe deeply under her skirt, in a cave filled with the scent of her sex, The musk of her arousal, the salty aroma of her precum, the clear fluid you know slowly filling her panties, flooding from her pussy as you open your mouth and, with the flat of your tongue, run it up the inch of exposed shaft, up to the head of her cock, all around the rim, where the shaft becomes the head, licking, lapping. There are small textured bumps there, some natural feature of her body. She shivers at the hot, wet feeling of your attentions. Hard to say precisely why, but this just feels like the most natural thing in the world, immersed beneath her skirt, your head in there, the sun beating down your back as you approach the boat. But all you can think about is fastening your lips, pulling her length deeper into your mouth. The memory of her kiss, the impression of her lipstick on your lips, and then on your cheek, the whispered, purred words, these feelings mingled in there too, colliding and stimulating as the urge rises. You know what you have to do next. Forming a tight seal with your lips, you begin to suck her cock into your mouth, slipping along it, your tongue glued to the underside, exploring every vein, exploring every inch of her, your loving cock-sucking treatment causing her to groan, to buck her hips the tiniest bit on the bench, but she's overall focused. She's still rowing. In fact, focusing on that seems to make her cock all the more vulnerable. You pull down her panties, sliding your hands up, and slip one hand underneath to feel just how wet her pussy is, but your attentions are on her cock, your hand, your other hand, the one that isn't very lightly fingering her sex, your other hand is gripping her cock at the base, stroking it with firm, insistent movement. You're just holding about an inch or two in between two of your fingers. Most of her cock is in your mouth, where it belongs, sucking on it as she squirms on her seat, her juices flowing down her inner thighs, the taste of her in your mouth makes you squirm as well. But you can't move much where you're at, so you have to contain all the echoing, shuddering responses you have to the big thickness of her in your mouth. The mind-filling, mouth-flooding, now pre-cum drooling length. You hear the clink of the oars as she keeps moving them, as she keeps moving along through the water, but her cock's taste is the only thing on your mind. You do think of her breasts, of those nipples showing through her tight top, of her lips, her nails. You think of the color, the particular bright blue of her, her tattoo, her hair. Every feature of her moves through your mind. Oh, keep moving that hand, she tells you, insistently, because yes, you'd forgotten to stroke, so you jerk her cock a few more times. Your tongue is becoming stained with the flavor of her, dripping onto it, sliding, being swallowed. You bob your head as much as you can, on and off, pumping her cock from the base toward the tip, pumping it continuously, working it, thick, hot. Streams of her pre-cum escaping her over-engorged member, escaping and sliding down your throat as you swallow, swallowing continuously just to give her the pleasant feeling of your throat moving around her cock as you push as much in as you can. She's not that large, but it certainly is vigorous, and there's a thick scent in the air from being that close to her pussy, to her cock, twining your tongue around it. Moving, a flow of that clear fluid from her tip, swallowed, continuously swallowed, her cock in your mouth, you between her muscled thighs, under her skirt, allowed intimate access, so many ways to give her pleasure, and you keep jerking her cock, just your thumb and forefinger curled in a circle about the base, moving across one inch of the tissue, but you know that the circumstances will make it more pleasurable, as you're touching only a tiny bit of her with your hand, and the rest of her captured in your wet, warm, sucking, eager mouth, and you are eager, between her thighs, breathing in the scent, surrounded by the feel of her under her skirt, her panties pulled down in front of you. You run one finger across her slit, while the other hand is still occupied, teasing and jerking her cock, offering oral pleasure continuously, constantly. But it's not so much an offering, not something you're doing for her, you're you're doing this because with that thick, hard cock with her erection in front of you, there only was one option. There only was one thought. You feel the burn and tingle on your cheek where she kissed you, across your lips, which are now working on her cock. You imagine some amount of lipstick may have transferred to you, and now back to her, coming full circle. Her lips again fill your mind, and you make sure to work your own, to slide them back over the head, slicked with her pre-cum, back down as deep on the shaft as you can, swallowing noisily, letting her hear the gulping, the slurping. She moans. She has stopped rowing. In fact, you know if you looked, you'd see the white-knuckle grip of her hands on the sides of the boat as she tries to keep composure. You know that's the case because her cock is jerking, the tip of it slapping against the roof of your mouth whenever you pull out enough. She is as hard as she can possibly be, and the spasms are running deep inside her. You know her load cannot be far away, that she's going to come, in light of which you grip the base of her shaft hard as you can, potentially restraining it up inside her. You know there must be some hidden semen storage in this whole mechanism, that there's some part of her, some little bead, some firm nub inside, that is waiting to expel the load that has been churning in her. You know it could be reached if you were fucking her rear. In fact, you're starting to intuit all sorts of things about the pleasant, firm, throbbing truths of her anatomy, her closeness, and in particular, the scent and taste of her cock buried deep in your throat, you inhaling through your nose firmly as your tongue starts to roll around it. You release the firm grip on the base of her, no longer holding back whatever orgasm she was going to release. You just have to, because you heard a piteous moan and gasp from above, an insistent sound telling you she is too close to bear much restraint, that she needs very badly what you intend fully to deliver, slurping around the head, letting your drool run down your chin, mingled with her pre-cum. Every second that passes, more pleasure is being pushed into her body. You know you could do more. You could be playing with her ass. You could be rubbing her pussy more. You could be rubbing your hand over her breasts. There are so many options to deliver pleasure toward the woman who is before you and who you are beneath, who you are serving, who you are slurping at, licking, sucking upon. You slide your mouth entirely off her cock. She groans. A deep, needy sound. The sudden exposure to the air, well, to the heated air beneath her skirt, causes her cock to jump, and then you grab it. You grab it with the hand that's been stroking just the base before. You taste her on your tongue. You lick the roof of your mouth, lap up all the pre-cum, which was growing thicker as she approached her orgasm. You lick and swallow it, noisily allowing her to hear. But you're no longer sucking on her cock. You take the spit-shined member in your hand, and then you grab her skirt, wrap it around her cock, and begin jerking hard, using her skirt as the fabric, the wrapping, the material, to add a little bit of friction to it. You jerk her off with her own clothing, sliding a hand down and pushing her panties into her pussy with two of your fingers, sliding it as deep as possible inside of her, and feeling the convulsion of her pussy, just as you feel her cock jumping, squirting. She moans, "Oh, oh." She no longer has the composure, but you know that she would say, oh no, that she would be surprised by your sudden turn on her. Because when you stroke her off with her skirt, when you jerk her off that way, she squirts hot and hard. You feel it through the fabric, thick under your hand, but you just bunch the skirt against her cock, letting her cum slather in between the shaft and the skirt, jerking her cum-slicked, climaxing cock off as you lean in and lick underneath it. Once more, you slide under the skirt. You still have your hand keeping part of it tight to her cock, tight wrapped against it to soak up the load. You rather wish you'd let it spatter over your tongue and on the roof of your mouth, but you wanted to make a statement, to leave a sign of what you'd done to her. You didn't want her walking on the ship when the two of you arrive, pretending she had her composure, because with her cock in your mouth, you realized she was hungry for your lips. Just as you think of her lips and you shiver again, your own body hot, but you keep jerking her with her own skirt, keep pushing her panties up inside her pussy, rubbing the inner walls, the folds that are loose and wet with her arousal. Arousal manifesting in the way she's still just gripping the boat as the two of you drift out in it. As she pushes her cock, her hips up off the bench, gripping the side of the boat. There's no danger of capsizing. It's well ballasted. It's well positioned. And she's not moving that much. But instead, there is certainly danger that her moans will be heard, both on shore and on the ship. Yes, yes, yes. As she comes in constant spasm. You don't stop jerking when you know her load has been expended. You jerk her post-orgasmic, oversensitive, slowly softening member. Her cock inside her skirt now stuck to it. Just experimentally, you try to pull the skirt away and it sticks to the cock. She groans at this new sensation. And then you push the cum-slathered underside of her skirt back against her dick. Slide her panties back over her pussy and her cock both. It's soft enough you can shove it down in them. And that also means a generous coating of her sperm fills the inside of the panties at the moment that you lower her skirt again, everything sticky and disheveled. And then, sliding away, you extend your tongue and lick some of her pre-cum from the corners of your mouth. As you look up to see her sweated face, her bright blue lips, you give her concealed cock under the skirt one last firm squeeze. And she resumes rowing the both of you toward the ship, her face flushed. You have to just sit with your arousal. But after some time, in fact, right before you reach the little jetty anchored in the water next to the ship, the place where they load and unload cargo, right before you get there, you think you see her cock once more firming up, pushing just enough out of her panties to tent her skirt slightly. You smile to yourself at a job well done, as your entire body flares with an unknown heat, with something you can't quite damp down. You know the moment you have some privacy, you're going to have to take care of your own urges. You lick your lips. You stare at hers. And allow her to precede you from the boat before whatever comes next.